Good morning. Welcome to Harvest. If you'd like to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter, that's where we're going to begin here in a minute. But before we start, I would like to take a moment to really thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to speak here. This isn't something that I've ever really done before, give a lesson on a Sunday morning, so just bear with me and keep that in mind. I also see a lot of visitors here that aren't necessarily new faces. And I know that Hunter is very appreciative of all of you coming to hear him lead singing. So, starting in Hebrews in the 12th chapter, starting in the first verse, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and I sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So right here, the author has laid out this image of this race. And if you're like me, when you imagine a race, what you envision is you have all your participants lined up at the starting line, waiting for the alarm to go off to begin the race, and then it does, and they all start running. Person who finishes first wins the race. Pretty straightforward. Now, obviously, he's not really talking that much about a physical race here. He's talking more about a spiritual race, a race of faith. But, you know, there's obviously still a lot of comparisons to be drawn between the two. You know, in the same way that a physical endurance athlete needs to train themselves, condition themselves, get their cardio up, get their endurance up, we as Christians need to condition ourselves, get our endurance up, strengthen our cardio so that we can be able to run this race. In 1 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promises of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So right there we have an example where he draws this comparison to physical exercise compared to spiritual exercise. And it says, so if you think about how imperative it is that as an endurance athlete, you train before you go out and you run a marathon, it's even more so important from a spiritual aspect to make sure that you're trained to run this race. For in this spiritual race, we're striving for an imperishable crown, not the perishable one that you're raised here on earth. You know, in the same way that an athlete has to build up everything to be able to run this race, he can't just go out there the day of. He can't just wake up one morning and decide to go run 26 miles in a marathon or however long of a race it is. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. You know, typically weeks to months before an endurance athlete embarks on this mission to win this race, he'll go through a strict regimen of training. You know, he'll run some days. Other days he'll take days off. Some days he'll run further than other days. Some days he'll try to run faster than other days. But he follows this regimen because he has to build himself up to be able to run this race. We as Christians, same thing. We have to build ourselves up to be able to run in this spiritual race. It's not something you can just step into. It takes work. It takes effort. And it takes building yourself up. It takes strengthening yourself. And we get an answer to how to do that in the book of Jude. In the first chapter, in the 20th verse, where it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So, with the answer to how we need to build ourselves up, and that's through prayer, we know that we can go about doing this. You know, our avenue to God through prayer is possibly the greatest thing that we have as Christians. It's our greatest strength. To be able to go to God in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of need, joy, happiness, really in whatever aspect you need to go to God to. Just to be able to go to Him whenever it is that you need Him. That's probably our greatest strength as Christians, and that's how we build ourselves up. You know, when we build ourselves up, we're actually conditioning ourselves to be able to do that. You know, an endurance athlete conditions themselves because when you run a race, it's kind of inevitable that you're going to get tired. You know, you're going to want to quit. And during those times when an athlete might feel that, he falls back on his training and says, you know, I've been in this situation before, and I've pushed through it through all my training, and I know that I can persevere. And as Christians, we're in the exact same situation. Because during this race, you're inevitably going to face hardships. You're going to face obstacles that you're going to have to overcome. And we can resort back to our training, to our foundation, to our conditioning of where we continue to condition our mind and our hearts to go to God and pray during these times of trouble. We're actually creating habits when we do this, you know. Like, have you ever really thought about that? Like, what is your habit whenever you're faced with these times of hardships, these times of trouble? Because it should be to go to God in prayer. But is it? And that's a completely different lesson for a completely other time, other Sunday. So getting back, touching back in Hebrews where it says, lay aside every snare, every weight that so easily entangles us. He's talking about simplifying your path, making it a little bit easier on yourself, moving the things that you know are going to be a stumbling block. If I were to tell us that right now we're all going to go outside, we're going to run a race around the church building, how many of you would strap on a 100-pound weighted vest to go do that? You wouldn't. That would make no sense. It'd be an unnecessary weight. It'd be a stumbling block in your way. And you wouldn't do that. That's exactly what he's saying right here by saying removing every weight and every sin, every snare that so easily entangles us. And now it's easy to think about the sins and the snares being things that trip us up, but it's also distractions. And it's not only distractions that, you know, are bad. Obviously there are bad distractions, but there are also distractions that aren't really deemed to be bad things at all. When they take away from your number one priority, which is this race with God, then they become bad distractions. And the greatest example I could find of this in the Bible is in the book of Luke, in the 10th chapter, starting in verse 38, where it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, that which will not be taken away from her.'" So Jesus has just come into town, and he's come to their house, and Martha's trying to get things ready. And I know that's something that everyone here can relate to, because when you have company, you typically try to order things up around the house. And if you're willing to dust all the dog hair off the couch because your in-laws are coming, what are you willing to do when Jesus comes? So Martha is distracted doing this thing that for pretty much all of humanity all around the world deems to be this worthy thing to do. But Jesus tells her, it's taken away from me. And I'm the number one priority. You know, it's proven as humans that we can't really multitask on things. You can't focus on multiple things at once. You can swap back and forth, but regardless of how good you think you are at swapping back and forth at tasks, you cannot give 100% of your focus to two separate things at one time. And that's the point that Jesus is making, is that although you're doing this thing that seems good, you're taken away from me. Because you can't give me 100% of your focus if you're doing anything else other than listening to me. There's a passage in Matthew 6 that everyone's probably familiar with. It starts in verse 19 that says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So once again, we're talking about priorities. And Jesus is saying, We don't have real priorities here on earth. There are things you have to do. There are things that have to get done. There are things that, you know, might be important from a physical aspect, like eating, drinking, things like that, camaraderie, but your number one priority isn't down here on earth. It's up in heaven. And you've got to have that complete and entire focus on that. Because like we've established, you can't have focus on two things. You got to have one thing that you're giving it all to. We started in the book of Hebrews talking about this race. And Hebrews isn't actually the only book in the Bible to compare this race of life or to this spiritual journey to an actual race. There's also a comparison made in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, starting in verses 24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But for us, we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." So, once again, the author there is telling us we're running this race. But there he's telling us to run it in a way that we're going to win. Now, I don't think he's necessarily saying that this spiritual journey is a race to see who gets across the finish line first. I think he's more so talking about the mindset. Because if you've ever been in a race and you're running this race with the intent to win, then you're at the starting line and you start. and everything inside of you, all of your focus, all your attention, you are one-minded in one mission, and that is to finish this race. 100% of your effort is going in to finishing this race and finishing it at your very best. And I believe that's what he's talking about here. You know, continuing with the theme of one priority, one focus, 100% effort on that thing, just like a runner who's running to win a race has one priority, one focus, that's winning the race. Our one priority, our one focus is upon heaven. Like we just talked about, do not lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are of the earth. Where we started in Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, who is at the right hand of God. It's looking at heaven. That's our goal. That's our finish line. And that's where we're spending all of our time and effort trying to get to. That's where 100% of our focus is. That's where all of our determination is going. Now, we're also called in this race to run with endurance. Now, that doesn't specifically say that this is a difficult race, but it kind of implies it. I don't have to tell you to endure your walk from where you're sitting right now out to your car in the parking lot. That's not something that requires endurance. That's an easy thing to do. Now, if I told you to endure your walk to Nashville today, that'd be a little bit more difficult. You might have to practice a little bit of endurance there to get there. And so, with this endurance implication, he's talking about how it's not going to be an easy race. In fact, in the book of Romans, we're actually told how we obtain endurance. Starting in verse 3 in chapter 5, it says, And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, perseverance and endurance, we're essentially talking about the same thing here. And he's saying that the only way you're really going to attain this endurance to be able to run this race is going through the hardships that you're going to face throughout your Christian life. You know, it's inevitable that you're going to face these hardships. It's inevitable that you're going to face these difficulties that you have to overcome. And that draws back around to the importance of your training. Being able to go back to God, go to God in prayer, have your heart and your mind conditioned to immediately turn to that whenever you're faced with these trials. There's also a verse in the book of 2 Corinthians that I want to touch on real fast. It starts in the 4th chapter at the 8th verse, and it says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Skipping down to verse 16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So once again, this picture is laid out of the hardships that you're inevitably going to face as a Christian. But it's saying, you know, don't lose heart in that. You know, because as we just read in Romans, every trial and tribulation is a chance to grow perseverance, character, and hope. He's saying here that although your physical outward man is tired, you get stronger on the inside. Because every time you overcome that temptation, you get stronger and your relationship with God grows. So that's the importance of endurance. Because you can't grow a strong relationship with God without having that endurance, without, you know, being able to go to God throughout all that time. But, you know, if you stop whenever obstacles hit, then you don't have that endurance. And what are you doing? You know, it's easy to praise God when everything's great and it's up here in the hilltops. But, you know, it's hills and valleys. So when you're down low, where do you turn to? In the book of Philippians, in chapter 3 and verse 12, it also states, Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of for that for which Christ Jesus had also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You're talking about keep pushing forward. Keep moving forward. Keep going. Don't stop persevering. Or endurance. You know, this race isn't an easy race to run. And, you know, maybe you've lost your endurance. Or, you know, maybe you haven't even started this race. You know, maybe you don't even know where to begin. Maybe you're still waiting on the initial gun to go off. Well, I can assure you that this gun's not going to go off until you tell the Lord that you're willing to start running. You know, there's a lot of ways that we'd love to help you today if you need any help starting, or maybe getting back on track. And so, if you would like to, if you think there's any way that we can help you, I ask you please come forward while together we stand and sing.